more of any item and you automatically qualify for a discount. Check us out at the Mega Store in Funkole where there's lots of parking. On Monday to Friday from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. On Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. And on Sundays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. JP Mega, the best family shopping experience. Who say health cannot have vibes? Well, Jolly's Pharmacy is proving you otherwise. With health vibes. Every Wednesday morning on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Health vibes. Education, information, and a bit of humor. And not forgetting lots of vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando with co-hosts Jacinta Fagan Defo and Trudy Kristen. Jolly's Pharmacy is bringing health and vibes together every Wednesday. So be sure to tune in. Health Vibes every Wednesday on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
A pleasant good morning to you. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is indeed a pleasure being here with you for yet another episode of Health Vibes, your very own health talk show brought to you by the brand you trust the most, Jolly's Pharmacy. I'm your host, Carlton Lando, with my two beautiful co-hostesses. I am sorry that last week, the past 2 weeks, I have not been on. I was doing assignments on the field. As you know, I seem to be a very busy person, and I wear, you know, a few hats at Jolly's. So this is not the only thing that I do. But I thank you for, again, inviting us to your home, your vehicle, your office, wherever you are at this time. You may be on the farm ensuring that our food security is sustained. Good morning to you. You may be on that sea trying to get some tash, some balau, some ton, whatever it is. Be safe and good morning to you. You may be at this time doing a wonderful beautification job like the NEP people on the roadsides. Good morning to you. And you may be retired and may just be, you know, relaxing, maybe with a fruit in your mouth or on the table. You might be watching, you know, the TV, but at the same time listening to us. And you may just be chilling. Good morning to you. It's a beautiful day. Yesterday was quite rainy, and today we seem to be having some good weather for the cricket. And we are happy that God, you know, seemed to be ensuring that the sun comes out and shine in its full glory, or at least 80% of its glory, to make sure that this cricket goes ahead. Ladies, good morning. I've had a mouthful.
Good morning. Good morning, Carlton. Good morning to the listeners of Q95 and, of course, the Health Vibes, Carlton. Of course, it's a pleasure to have you back. I know the listeners who are missing you will hear on the phone lines this morning just how much they missed you. Anytime you're not in studio, you know, they listen to Justin Van I. They're listening, you know, but they're saying to themselves, but where is Carlton? You know, for them to interact. So, nice to have you back with us. Good morning. You mentioned all the people you're saying good morning to. Good morning to the cricket lovers,
yes,
who, you know, prayed a lot yesterday for that rain to subside, and who this morning are maybe very joyous,
yes,
that they will get to see some test cricket here in Dominica. So good morning to you, cricket lovers. I am not a cricket lover, but I will say a special good morning to you all who are very enthusiastic today about cricket. Not me, but you all.
So you wouldn't go for the lime then, Trudy?
Oh no. Oh no. I just something about that whole thing is just so boring to me. No, I just cannot. Wow. I did cricket once in the party stand. I didn't see anything that was going on. I just partied. So without party stand, I don't think you could catch me going to cricket. Not me.
Wow. Well, good morning to you guys and to our listeners. I'm a big cricket fan.
Wow.
And mostly because of my dad. If he were there here today, he would be probably the first one, you know, in the stand.
Stadium.
He loved it. And through him, our entire family, you know, got to love it as well. So good luck to our team and supporters if you are able to.
And we have two national players, two players, Dominicans, who have made it to the West Indies team, and we wish them well. And I am quite confident that they will make us very proud today.
They always get the support
in their
here.
Home base.
Yes.
And so all the Dominicans will be calling out their names this morning. Trudy, let me say congratulations to you and your team for, again, winning
It was a friendly debate between Dominica State College and the Sir Alpha Lewis Community College in St. Lucia.
Congrats.
This year we did not have the Windward Islands debating competition, which normally involves the four Windward Islands, Dominica, St. Lucia, St. Vincent, and Grenada. So just Dominica and St. Lucia had a competition between the two schools. And Dominica won one debate. They lost another one by a small margin. And so overall, with the cumulative points, Dominica was the winner of the competition.
So we're
very happy about that.
Of course. Great job.
I like that. I do hope, Trudy, this thought just came to my mind that maybe one of these days when you do have, maybe one of these debates, that you will put it in the honor of Panfi.
When we debated last year, which was the Windward Islands debating competition last year took place virtually. So all the islands participated, but it was virtual.
Wow.
Dominica did compete in the memory of Daniel Panfi, who was on my first debate team that traveled regionally. And of course Dominica had won that debate with Mr. Panfi at the helm of the team, so
but he was very excited,
very enthusiastic,
very excited.
He was a good debater. So last year we did, and this year interestingly we stayed in St. Lucia in the same hotel where Daniel and the rest of the team had stayed. So you know, I had a lot of memories of him during our stay in St. Lucia. So I always compete in his memory, and I tell my students, each team, well, last year's team and now this year's team, about him. So they know, you know, we have a legacy to maintain.
And he was a very passionate person,
so
I can imagine him debating. But we're happy to have you on. Let me just, again, remind you of next week. And the buzz is in the air already. Many people are excited about next week. We are celebrating, again, another Customer Appreciation Week every July, the third week in July. It's a staple for us where we celebrate you. We celebrate you because without you, there would not be us. And we celebrate you because you have been loyal, you have trusted us, and you have relied on our services for 43 years. And so this year, like most other years, we will be celebrating you with lots of giveaways and tokens and sampling and tasting and many other activities that will complement who we are. So this year we're having again the Megaland Children's Fun Day. Last year that was a big activity that is happening in the parking lot or at Megastore. That is next week, Saturday in the afternoon. We're having the pet day.
Okay, so that's
pets.
Coming back.
Yes, that's coming back Saturday morning. That is next week, Saturday morning. Zane wants a dog and a cat. We're debating as to, do we do the two or do we do one? And if we do one, which pet will it be? So I left Rainbow sleeping with Jenna on her bed, curled up next to her, underneath her chin. So I suspect Zane may want another cat because she feels they fight over the cat. And Jacinta, you know that.
Yes.
You know they love the cat.
And how does your dog get along with the cat?
Very well.
Wow.
Very well.
So you have a model home, Carlton.
Well, I'm thinking if I bring another dog, I think Midnight will not be happy. Midnight is very,
very territorial. And
dominating. So it may have some difficulty. But, you know, so this is what the discussion is going to be on Saturday. Many people will be walking with the children. And we said to you, bring the children. They really love, you know, holding the pets. And all of the pets will be vaccinated. And they will also be spaded. I think they're spaded. And so you don't have to think of the cats, you know, making many kittens and that. Although some people love their kittens, but you can adopt a pet for free, and that will be compliments of St. Nicholas University, Veterinarian School in Mont Daniel. We will also be having the VVIP experience again, where you can shop in comfort, in style, in a sense of almost like a royalty kind of a thing.
That's
you know, while you shop, you'll be serenaded with saxophone music, and you'll be celebrated with nice things to eat
and drink.
And drinks and, you know, good vibes.
Red carpet. That's happening
as well. I will let you know the day for that, but I know it's happening very soon. We'll be having lots of giveaways. We'll be having free double prestige points. You'll be getting days of that. Live entertainments. We'll be having cardio jam with a special flavor added to the cardio jam, and that's going to be happening right on the street, Old Street, by the Old Market. And so the police have given us, we want to thank them for giving us the permission to use that venue. And so we want you to participate in the cardio jam. We will be having our preventative health screening as well. That's going to be happening at the mega store. This year we felt that, you know, what if it rains? Or what if it's very hot? We want you to be comfortable. And so we'll be having it in-house. We want you to come in as well. You'll be fully air-conditioned. You'll be seated. The washroom facility will be available to you. So even if you have to use the washroom while you sit, you know, there'll be free Wi-Fi as well. So it's you really get a bit more than usually would use the yard and so
the
forth.
The outdoor space.
But this year we're doing it in-house. And you have, again, the cafeteria is right there. If you want to
there
get something to
hungry.
Eat because you're hungry, you want water, you want a snack, that is
everything
available
is there,
to you.
Yes.
So
there's
we've
so much
decided
space
to do
at
it.
Mega.
Yes, to do it at Mega this year. So again, customer appreciation week begins from the 17th of July to the 22nd of July. And we're expecting as many people to be participating in this year's Customer Appreciation Week. Again, start saving some money. You may have to withdraw. We accept checks.
I like how we accept
cards. We accept as well mobile banking. And but unfortunately, no credits. But again, you know, the prices are going to be very, very awesome this year for Customer Appreciation Week. And guess what? You might just get an opportunity to hear Jacinta Fagan Defoe sing.
Hey!
Because she sings very, very beautifully. Trudy, can you sing?
I could. I used to be able to.
I'm sure you can.
Somewhere along the line, I don't know.
Well,
but
Trudy,
when I was young, I used to be in choirs and choirs and choirs. Yeah. But I don't know. but Jacinta is the surprise
songbird
artist.
Yes.
Okay, but not surprised because you just revealed
we
it.
We might just put her in a lovely evening wear and sing, you know, something, maybe something from Celine Dion, I don't know, you know, something. So come on down on, again, the week 17th to the 22nd at all our locations, Jolly's Pharmacy. We're expected to really, really make you have a fun time. Mm-hmm. Not forgetting, though, that our JP Nuff, the Portsmouth branch.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the people in the north.
It is getting ready. It is getting ready for you. The doctors are so excited.
Of course.
The nurses are super excited. And of course, the customers, the fans, the patrons, they are all excited for the grand opening of JP Nuff, which is going to be happening very, very soon. The clock is on the wall and we are already counting down the days for this grand opening. Again, it is serving the entire north of the island. That includes all the way to Marigot. And if, again, the people from the Kalinago space wants to, as well, come to Portsmouth, to make the purchases of all the trucks that we would have in Roseau, they will be available in Portsmouth.
Nice.
And guess what? They will be sold at the same price like all our stores. Mm-hmm. All our stores. So even if you were to put your prescription in Roseau, drop it there, and you come in down Portsmouth and you feel, boy, you know what? I want to really patronize the Portsmouth inventory. You can pick it up in Portsmouth.
Mm-hmm.
The same system is available. Mm-hmm. So pharmacists can see the same thing, the same system. Everything remains the same. It's just a different location.
And that's so cool. Yes. Because you have options. You could be, you could be from Roseau, but you're liming in Posse, in Portsmouth, and you want to fill your prescription, and you can utilize that branch, and you have the same information. Yeah.
Yes,
so you don't have to worry. So that is very, very, very convenient.
Mm-hmm. Very convenient. Mm-hmm. So you guys will be getting a wonderful, competent, experienced pharmacist. And Jean Portsmouth, unfortunately, it's not me. I know all of you have been saying, only getting all your pharmacies back. Yes, I will, visit from time to time and maybe come and do a few hours and spend some time with you. But I am too busy to be there full time. But I can guarantee you will be in very, very safe hands.
True.
When you deal with this competent pharmacist. Trudy, someone told me we have a very hot topic today.
Yes. I mean, Carlton, if you have not been on the show for 2 weeks, Justin and I holding down the fort, but the listeners know when Carlton comes back, he has to bring a hot topic. So, I mean, people are waiting. I know people are waiting. We're doing our intro, but people are waiting because they know when Carlton comes back to studio, the topic has to reflect.
You realize Jacinta came in today, right? And she came in with a flaming burgundy dress. And when I called her yesterday, I said to her, this is what we're going to be doing. She started to fan. Jacinta started to fan people. Jacinta checking, what? At 10 o'clock? Yes, but we are on this morning. We are going to be having a very, very discussion. Five sex topics you and your partner must discuss. I'm not too sure if you're going to agree with us, if we will all agree on those five topics, whether we should be talking about these to our partner. But again, your guess is as good as mine. And we will get to know by you calling the airways. 449-3095, 449-3096, 449-3097, 616-4257. Of course, you are always welcome to connect with us if you reside out of Dominica. That number is 305-432-9624. Let me give that number again, 305-432-9624. These are your numbers, callers, and we are going to take a short break, and then we will actually start the discussion. We will be calling Lester Guy to make a contribution, as Lester is one of the well-known clinical psychologists in Dominica. He's done a lot of work in terms of sexual reproductive health here in Dominica. It is one of his platforms. And so we will be connecting with Lester along the way, maybe very early, so that he can summarize some of these things. And then subsequently, we'll open up the lines and have a discussion. And you will definitely have an opportunity to have your say as well. Let's take a break.
Who say health cannot have vibes? Well, Jolly's Pharmacy is proving you otherwise. With Health Vibes, every Wednesday morning on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Health Vibes, education, information, and a bit of humor. And not forgetting, lots of vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando, with co-hosts Jacinta Fagan Defo and Trudy Christen. Jolly's Pharmacy is bringing health and vibes together every Wednesday, so be sure to tune in. Every Wednesday on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
woke up this morning feeling real stink. I had the intentions to call in sick, but I end up in Jolly's pharmacy. Great and don't think I'll treat Jolly's fix up my email system. Have me feeling fit and strong, now I'm ready to work and take on any mission. If you see me working, Jolly's pharmacy is number one. Jolly's working, we cater for everyone. Jolly's working, boost up your email system. Jolly's working. Because if I fought a box, whenever I'm in town and I'm feeling down, I head to Jolly's Pharmacy. They boost me up real quick. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
St. Mary's Chips, a chip for every occasion. Let's go where good things happen.
Craving a bite of something tasty but healthy? Then it's time to head to Jolly's Pharmacy and pick up some chips from St. Mary's. Cassava, banana, breadfruit or plantain chips, the choice is all yours. All ingredients are fresh from the farm and it's healthy. There's zero trans fat, no MSG and it's gluten-free. So when you're making those healthy choices, always choose St. Mary's. St. Mary's, where good things happen.
St. Mary's Chips. A chip for every occasion, made with love in the Caribbean.
The colors will build it. Good morning to you. Good morning. Good morning again. We are so happy that you are with us. As I said this morning, we are going to be discussing something quite interesting. Some of you may find it a little sensitive, but we will make it. We'll make sure that the way that it is narrated in the cleanest and the most dignified manner. We are discussing five sex topics you and your partner must discuss. We have with us clinical psychologist Lester Guy. He is also the coordinator of the HIV AIDS prevention unit, and he has done extensive work in the area of sexual and reproductive health and counseling therapy. Lester, good morning to you.
Good morning, Carter.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Doing fine. I'm actually on the road, but I am willing to join you guys.
I know that. And this morning, you know, when I'm going to, because I know you have limited time, but we're going to summarize what these five areas are. And you will let us know if it's something that is practical. I actually got this from the Essence magazine. And when I saw it, I said, wow, this looks like something that can really invoke a discussion. And I would definitely want to take it to the airways. Because some people may agree to what they're saying, and some of us may not feel comfortable or may not agree to actually exercise what they've said that we should be doing. So one of the first things that they're saying that we should talk about our fantasies, our fetishes, and our desires with our partners. That is one of the things that they've said. They said that we should discuss our sexual history. I'm not sure if many people want to do that, whether we've had any sexual disease, whether we've had, sex with other partners, other genders, whether that should be discussed. They're talking about the third one, whether we should have an inclusive relationship or exclusive relationship as it relates to our sexual life. They're talking about the schedule for sex. Should sex be scheduled? Should it be spontaneous? Should other forms be used if one partner cannot adhere to what is proposed? And the last one too, should you open up about sexual secrets such as your past traumas, if you've been exploited sexually, if you've been sexually molested, and if you have sexual confusion, should these things be discussed in a healthy, committed relationship? Let's hear you.
All right. So you've mentioned five integral aspects of relationship as it relates to sexual history. I think it's a good topic, Carter. I commend you for being brave enough to have those type of discussions on the airway.
Thank you.
Because you'll get a lot of different opinions as it relates to those specific topics. But there are a lot, and to be honest with you, I don't have a pen for me. I could have noted all of them. Mm-hmm. But I would say this. First and foremost, I really to listen to. It's a whole thing, but it's a correct one, communication. You have to be able to communicate comfortably with your partner.
Mm-hmm.
But Albie, you have to be honest. I'm going to meet you today, and just because we're interested in each other, I'm going to give you my entire sexual history.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to happen. That's not practical. So it means that, based on our relationship with the other, it involves personal aspects of ourselves, or personal experiences of ourselves, as we get more comfortable with our partner.
Mm-hmm.
So that is first and foremost.
So in a sense, what you're saying, the trust must be developed and be identified.
Definitely. If I don't think I can trust myself, I'll probably contact with an FBI. It means that I'm putting myself in a position where as soon as I give that information, you want to work out the relationship that you're starting to build.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to certain aspects of relationships that people won't accept. So I may decide that based on my past experiences, there are certain things that somebody's gonna bring to me that I am not gonna accept.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to take it from that perspective. And that's why I always say about relationships. No relationship is a general thing, because both individuals are unique individuals, unique experiences, and we have to learn to appreciate that. So
uh-huh.
The other aspect that you've spoken about, for example, of fetishes and your desires and so on. It's another one that has to be something agreed on, like book partner. You may want something that I don't feel comfortable with. And I'm going to say, you may be in a relationship where you feel that you're comfortable with anal sex, but your partner isn't comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
It means that it's gonna be a point of conflict between you guys as to how are you going to meet my sexual needs. And if I am meeting your sexual needs, so that has to be taken into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would encourage, what do I encourage most people to do, is make sure that as you go along, you're able to measure what is it that you consider acceptable in the relationship that you are.
Mm-hmm. Would you as well look or identify compatibilities?
Definitely. And when you talk about compatibility, you also talk about it from a point of, in relationship, everybody give a bit of compromise. You want to compromise a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You want to give in a little bit of yourself. You're going to take in a little bit of the person.
Mm-hmm.
But it is something that you're comfortable doing, in the sense that in the long run, that's something that you can deal with. Because if you can deal with it, it's going to become a conflict in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having an interesting conversation with somebody yesterday with that same thing, where sometimes you're in relationships, and because we want to really stop something off with the person, they may tell us, for example, you know what, me and my ex-boyfriend are really close, and we do end up spending time together at given times. Initially...
Are you there? We seem
I think
to,
yes, I think, I we, think we lost that call. We'll have to try to get mm-hmm. him back on the
yes,
line.
Yes. Yeah, so we seem to have lost a guy, as he did say he's on the phone because he's not in Rosa right now. But again, we recognize that he was making a very good contribution, yes. And that's Lester Guy, clinical psychologist. And so we will try to connect with him shortly again.
Mm-hmm.
But again, truly, you would recognize some of the points that he is highlighting, talks about, again, trust.
Right. I think maybe to start off, we could have kind of established what type of relationship mm-hmm. are we speaking about when
we
say
committed relationship.
Okay.
Committed relationship.
Because, you know, he mentioned, you know, if you just meet someone, you wouldn't want to mm-hmm. to discuss. Because people do engage in sexual activity, you know, without being in a committed relationship. Mm-hmm. But I think the basis of what you mm-hmm. you're asking is a committed relationship, I guess, where these two people have decided that, you know, mm-hmm. it's not a one-off thing. Mm-hmm. They want to be together. So what sort of discussions they should have? And he's very correct in terms of trust. The trust, I would hope, would be Established, and you know, starting to, and the communication, you know, open, so that people can have these sort of, discussions the relationship.
But truly, without that, I love that point that you've raised up. The other thing too, it's the trust cannot just happen without the maturity.
Well, yes,
you have to have the maturity, because I'm not going to date a giggly legal, you know, somebody that's not mature and entrust them with these types of things. It's a very same thing. You're not going to give your 3-year-old your diamond ring to go to school. You understand? Somebody can just easily take that on their finger, or they might be playing and that just fall. You will give it to a responsible person to hold. So the very same thing, you're not going to entrust an immature person with deep information relating to you that they cannot digest it, they cannot deal with it. So I think the maturity must be there even before the trust.
Yeah, but the maturity should be there before you decide to have the relationship.
Well,
that's
true.
You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like if you, so that is why, what level are we starting at? If you've decided, you know, this person is mature, we compatible with this, with that, discussions can start to roll.
I second what you both said. Unfortunately, you know, it's only later on in the relationship some people figure out that this
certain
person
things.
Is not as mature as they thought, and they may not be open to that heavy level of discussion at the time. Probably in one partner's mind, they're focused on, you know, the future and heading forward, and the other one may not give off that same sense of commitment. So it depends. But transparency is important. Honesty is important, and having that trust level is very, very important, because you mentioned in one of your segments, Carlton, that you may want to discuss past traumas, past sexual experiences, and if you don't feel comfortable, you know, disclosing such information, then you know, you will not be inclined to do so. You know, so it really has to do with how comfortable you see yourself in that relationship, and how the person also reacts to other types of deep conversations. You can get an insight as to how they may be able to deal with that type of info.
But I was going to say quickly, Trudy, that when I read this excerpt from The Essence magazine, I recognize for us, particularly Caribbean folks, our ideology, perception, socialization process as it relates to sexual and reproductive health has so much to do with our religious background. And religious background in terms of its definition and characterization as to what is moral.
Right.
Because if we have to go deep into this sociologically, morality is usually characterized or defined based on what we'd call the scriptures, the holy scriptures. So we kind of revert to that. All right? And then we kind of make laws or rules regarding how we should behave and the things that we should do based on that. We're supposed to have Lester with us again. Lester, you're back?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay.
Wonderful.
All right. So you recognize where I was just commenting about how religion may also be a big part in terms of how comfortable we are in having these discussions and even exhibiting or acting on maybe some of these suggestions that the experts in Essence magazine, the person who contributed, the specialist, was saying.
So wonderful. And you used a very interesting word, Carlton, socialization. And we're not talking about a societal socialization. We're talking about sometimes how people are sexually socialized. Because it may be that your first or your most common way of sexual engagement is something that doesn't work for your partner. And a typical example that we use sometimes, people talk about what we call a quickie or a cookie bowl shash. Some women or some men are very comfortable with that, the act of risking that we are found out or we are taking a chance. And that's my turn on.
Mm-hmm.
In comparison to we are in a bed, we are totally quote unquote comfortable, and that's how it works for us. So you have to be very, very tactful as to how your relationship is developing, what you need to put on the table, at what point do you need to put it at the table.
Mm-hmm.
Because typical one that happens right now in the 21st century is the use of sexual toys.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Some people are totally against it because why would I have a foreign or inanimate object to enjoy sexual intercourse or intimacy with my partner?
Mm-hmm.
While for somebody else it may be, yes, it adds to what we have, and both myself and my partner are comfortable in doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of how we approach the circumstances with our partners have to do is, as we normally say in local terms, testing the water.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing up the conversation and ask, would that be something that you would like? Would that be something that you would want to try? Would that be something that you're comfortable with?
Well, let's tell
and
me.
No, yes.
Well, let's tell, let me ask you, because I suspect many people may want to have these discussions, may want to initiate it. But how do you start? Is it because if you, for example, you might be a conservative person, you've never had any, the person has never seen you or would never perceive you or think that you would think of something like that. And then you just say, you go to your wife and say, I wonder what it would be nice, if it would be nice to have somebody else in our bed. Then your wife wondering where you get that from, if you're watching porn or where you get that from, like how you would come with me. To me with something like that. And also, how do you, as a psychologist, and you do a lot of therapy with people, how would you now tell us how would somebody should initiate that conversation in a comfortable manner?
Right. So I'm gonna make a statement before I introduce that. Again, it's very important as to people being their true selves when they get into a relationship.
Mm.
Because if you give me the impression that you are conservative, it's going to be very difficult for me to bridge the subject with you.
Ah.
But if you show me your true self as to, you know what, I've had my sexual experiences, this is where I am. I may not give you the intricate details, but I may place on the table, I may be comfortable with something like inner sex or sex toys.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be a hardcore discussion, but I've already placed it in your mind. So it's planted in your mind that I can be open to other things.
Mm-hmm.
The other aspect of it basically is you can go to a healthcare practitioner, a psychologist, and have the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure that you're having it in a safe, objective, and comfortable place.
That's true.
And a lot of times, sometimes people misinterpret the fact that going to a psychologist or psychotherapist is something because you have some mental, emotional problem. Mm-hmm. It may not necessarily be that.
True.
You might just be looking for a little bit of, like a wider playing field, an objective voice,
mm-hmm.
to have the discussion with. And that person can prompt you to move forward. And I've done that with some of the couples that I have seen.
Mm-hmm.
Where they come in, there are difficulties that they have. But right now, we can place everything on the table and see if it's something that we can maintain. We can bridge the subject with a specialist. And they can give us a bit of guidance in that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nothing wrong to come into a provider, a therapist, to have those type of discussion and find out where we are, if it's becoming difficult to communicate just between you and I.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start from what you're saying, and Carlton, also from what you said earlier, you know, communication really seems to be key, and I agree. I think it gets easier with age and experience,
mm-hmm.
because I think there are a lot of things that might seem difficult when you're dealing with younger people as compared to when you're dealing with, and we all mentioned maturity as well, you know, when you're dealing with older or more mature people who have maybe seen everything under the sun, so you're not so, you know, it's not as difficult. But I think that communication point is very clear. But Lester, I had a very important question I wanted to ask you. One of the points Carlton mentioned that was in the article was that you should discuss with your partner your sexual history and your future plans, and that may include any possible STIs that you have had or maybe any kind of implication it would have for your reproduction capability or your reproductive health. So Lester, I wanted to ask you specifically now, what is there that somebody should definitely, let's say two people who are in a committed relationship and have or have discussed having children in the future, what type of disclosure should there be in relation to STIs? What would you think is mandatory, you know, that the two partners lay on the table in terms of that?
Okay. All right, wonderful question. That's right in my backyard, and I'll tell you. I'm going to give you an example.
I know it's in your backyard.
So, first and foremost is this. If you get in a relationship with someone, and in the initial development of the relationship, the person mentions to you that they want children, you know that's already on the table, and that's paramount for certain persons in their life, wanting a child. If you don't want a child, if you don't want to have a child, you have to tell the person straight off. You have to be completely honest. I don't want to have a child. I'm not in a stage in my life where I want to have a child. Or I may be waiting for the next 5 years. Because I've been in a situation where one of the persons didn't want to have a child. The relationship became rocky. But after they broke up, the woman had a child with somebody else. It maybe they didn't want to have a child with that specific gentleman. So that can be a little ticklish in itself. But let's look at it from an STI point of view. So let's look at HIV. HIV, as we know, is an immunocompromised disease. So you have the disease. Because of the risk involved in having unprotected sex as it relates to HIV, it may be very difficult now for your partner to argue, well, if we're going to have a child in the near distant future, am I going to have unprotected sex with you? Am I going to put myself at a risk for transmitting HIV? But look at that. Right now, in this day and age, you can be in a healthy relationship. You can have a child with someone who's HIV positive, and the child can be protected, and you can be protected. Two ways. With our, what we call the prevention of mother-to-child transmission of HIV. Once a woman is HIV positive, and she's virally suppressed, or even what we say, undetectable, she can have sex, have a child, not pass the disease over to somebody else, and have a healthy baby. So it's always good sometimes when you give people the benefit of the doubt. And when you give people the benefit of the doubt, it gives them an opportunity for more in-depth discussion. That you can go to their healthcare provider right now and say, okay, I transmitted syphilis when I was that age. I know that if I do a test right now, it may still come back reactive. But it doesn't necessarily mean that syphilis is active in your body because you have been treated for it. This same can be said for herpes, where you can be on treatment and prevent yourself from having outbreaks. And as for HIV, for example, you can be virally suppressed and you and your partner have unprotected sex, because right now there's this new saying that undetectable equals uninfectious, you equals you.
Right.
So you may miss an opportunity for somebody that you can have a healthy relationship with, but because you don't know the information, you don't know the correct information, or you're not educated about the condition, that you decide to walk away from the relationship. That's where it comes again, having discussion with your healthcare provider. You go to your nurse, you go to your private practitioner, and find out the information. Because sometimes we may have been the soulmates that we're supposed to have, but a decision that I made when I was 24 is going to prevent you from having trust in me or having the relationship that you want to have with me, and we lose out to an extent.
Lester,
information.
I also want to ask you a question quickly.
Yeah.
Trudy made a statement earlier on that I may not necessarily have agreed to, because of what I'm seeing as well. What she made, she said that generally you find sometimes the older people are more open to these types of discussions versus the younger people. From what I'm seeing though, the younger opposite demographics are way more advanced and are way more exploratory relating to sexuality and sexual behaviors, expressions than that of the older generation. There seem to be this paradigm shift from what we're seeing, especially those who have been born from 1990, you're seeing that people are very much open to free psalms and these types of discussions. Mm-hmm. You will find somebody, a young person will tell another young person that they had sex last night or they masturbated this morning. You know, whereas a senior person or a more grown person may not want to even have that type of conversation. Do you agree with me?
Right.
So, because I know you do a lot of work with young people too.
Right. So, let's look at it from that perspective. Now that you can go on the World Wide Web and everything is there for us, it may have been different for persons like myself and yourself who were born in the 70s and the 80s. Mm-hmm. We bring ourselves up to speed as to what is going on in the world. But what we consider the quote-unquote new normal is different. Mm. Because people are looking at television and you're looking at all the television shows and so on. And there are people who are sexually expressing themselves differently. So it looks like normal. It is normal in the different societies which we are being exposed to right now. Let me give you a little interesting anecdotal story. Do you realize that a lot of young children right now that you meet who are about five and 7 years speaks with an English accent?
Yes, that's true.
Why? They're looking at separate people. Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Right? Yeah. Same thing for our young people. When they look at television shows, when they go on the internet, when they look at the TikToks, when they look at the YouTube, the way people are expressing themselves sexually is different from our parents. Mm. So for them, it's new normal. If it's normal in Europe and it's new normal in the United States, why should it not be normal for us? So the frisoms, the orgies, the swinging, the open relationships. It's not that people back in the day didn't want to do it, but you said something earlier, a lot of our sexual expression is based on our religious background mm-hmm. and what our society expects us to do. Mm-hmm. The younger people are seeing it in a broader view right now. We have reached a stage where it's a sexual revolution. People's sexual expression mm-hmm. is a lot bigger now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if we look at it from a morality point of view, that's one thing. But if we look at it from a social point of view, it's another.
Mm-hmm. Lester, thank you so much. We have to let you go now so that we can get some you know, different views. But we truly appreciate that, and you've always been open to and willing to be our guest at any time. Thank you so much. And Lester, just before you go, you may want to give your office number. So if somebody wants to have a consultation with you, we want to give you that opportunity to do so.
Wonderful. So if you want anything on sexual health and reproduction, you can call the office number 266-5813, 266-5812, 266-5915, 266-5914. If you want private counseling to go more in depth with situations where you want to feel very much comfortable, you can call me at 265-9108, or you can also reach out to GL Psycho Support Services, which is my little business that I run. I see people online, so I can have a discussion with you and your partners, and we can get an opportunity to, you know, vent, put stuff in place, bring something on the table that you need to bring forward with your partner, and we can work with it together, not by yourself. Together.
All right, great. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lester.
Thank you.
And we just had clinical psychologist Lester Guy with us as we have been discussing this very interesting topic. And you recognize the demographics in terms of the variables in the discussion. We have mm-hmm. religion, we have socialization, we have modernization, we have the sort of expansion of ideologies that is now opening up our minds to newer things. Now the question would be is there a new normal in terms of relationships? Are we going to open up ourselves to these types of discussions? Because I read recently as well that I can't remember the author, but he was saying that your relationship, irrespective of which partner that you choose, is between the two of you. It doesn't involve your mother, it doesn't involve your brother, it doesn't involve nobody else. You guys have to do what you guys want to do and have to do to make your relationship work mm-hmm. once you, both of you, are comfortable. What are your views on this?
I agree on that, Carlton. At the end of the day, it still comes back to you too. So if you decided, you know, to seek advice or opinions from your family members, friends, or other professionals, when that discussion is over, it still comes back to you too. So I think at the end of the day, you two have to have some type of agreement between you two and discuss what works for you, because accepting, you know, and welcoming all opinions and advice is beautiful, wonderful. It can give you some deeper insight, you know, widen your scope of exploration. But if at the end of the day you two still are in disagreement or still not comfortable in discussing or sharing or trying, then it will not work. Mm-hmm. So your father had his time, your mom had her time, mm-hmm. and it's still different people, still different personalities. So
yeah. I agree. You it's individual experience.
Exactly.
You know, is different from, you know, whatever transpired before. So it's good to listen to advice, but still be open that, you know, your experience and what you might see is not necessarily what the other person mm-hmm. experienced, you know. So I think it's good to listen, but still have that openness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you know, in as we're discussing, there's something, an example just came to my mind as the argument of religion came in. Let's look, for example, the Muslims, right? Mm-hmm. The Muslims are very conservative when it comes to their bodies.
Right.
The women have to be fully covered mm-hmm. and all of that.
Right.
But then the flip side is that the husband can have several wives and can be intimate with all the wives.
Mm-hmm.
So again, to religion in itself, it is very complex. You understand? So someone may use and say, well, the Bible says X, Y, Z, but that Bible is only relevant in the Christianity sect, S-E-C-T, versus if you're a Muslim or if you are... for example, they also have the people from Utah. What do you call it? A lot of them are polygamists.
Okay.
I forgot their religion, mm-hmm. but the man may have several wives. How many children? And all of them living in one household.
Mm-hmm.
So again, these things again are so open. But lately, too, I have been watching a few documentaries on polygamy, and one of the things that I kind of picked out about it is that there seem to be a no holds barred, like there is a lot of authenticity in the way that they communicate and the way that they do things versus the nuclear
conventional family
where people may really have their fantasies, their desires, and will never ever disclose it, but may actually wish that they were doing or living that life that you would have seen.
Well, that's where openness comes from, because earlier on you talked about sexual desires,
mm-hmm.
and if your sexual desires are not met, they're not explored, they're not discussed, you're going to feel like you're being limited or held back from your true or full sexual experience. So it stems back again to what you were saying. How comfortable are you with the person? And I think it is very important, because if you feel like you're being stifled, or you're not able to spread your wings as you wish, or you're not getting satisfied as you wish, then along the line, your sexual experience is going to be very minimal, and your partner will be wondering, you know, what's wrong, am I doing something wrong? And because you're not feeling comfortable expressing that to the partner, then there's going to be some kind of disharmony.
That is weird, and I will come back. Right, you speak about being able to express yourself and, you know, being able to communicate. That is where I was going to with the maturity thing and the age thing, not so much the openness to the different, you know, intricate manners of sexual expression, you know. But the fact that, let's say, someone has been through multiple relationships and the person maybe has, you know, had multiple partners and multiple sexual experiences, they may become more open to, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, mm-hmm. and be able to express that, as compared to maybe someone who, this is their first little, you know, their first thing. They're experiencing something sexually. They don't really like it, but they're not, you know, able to really communicate that because they haven't had the wealth of experience as someone else. So that's what I meant, because I know personally how I would communicate when I was 18, 19, 20. And how I'm communicating now at 38 is completely different. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I am not, you know, I am not going to be shy about saying this is what I would do or what I will not do, or this is what I like, this is what I don't like. Very straightforward. So that's why I feel it's something that has developed with, you know, becoming more mature. Mm-hmm. Because before, you might be afraid as a younger person, you don't want to seem, you know, or even if it's something that you maybe, it's not just you don't want to seem funny if you reject an idea, you know, but sometimes if you are with a person and the person is into something, you are not into it. As a younger person, you might feel forced, or you might feel like you don't have that kind
pressure.
Mm-hmm. You don't have that type of, you know, negotiation power to say, you know, me, let's say it's anal sex, that hurts too much. No, you might be there because you feel, but as you mature, you get that kind of power to be like, no, I really don't enjoy that form of sexual intercourse, and you know, or you show your partner what you do enjoy through, you know, videos, or you know.
So you in a sense, what you're saying, you suggest, present an alternative.
Right, right. You can, because you have that experience now. So that is what I feel. I feel it becomes easier, at least for, I maybe can speak for women, because I know a lot of women find difficulty in saying, I like this or I don't like that. But I know the women, even older than me, because I have a lot of older women friends. They'll tell you, you know, when you get to 50 and 55, and it's like, what you doing there? You blunt. You blunt. You know, you're not hiding anything again. You don't have time. You know, so that's what I think. But expressing what you like and what you don't like is very critical, you know, for a wholesome experience for both parties. And it would also show, and we've discussed that previously on the show, this level of selflessness, if the partner is willing to give you or provide what it is that you say that you enjoy, and you all can compromise and have an experience that both parties enjoy. So the maturity has to be there, the selflessness has to be there,
the intimacy,
the ability to communicate. And Carlton, earlier you all were mentioning, like, how do you broach certain topics. I mean, so many scenarios happen these days. For instance, talking about sex toys, Signal Band had a whole song about the rose. I mean, that is a perfect opportunity. If you never, you know, had spoken about a sex toy before, there's a whole song now. You could just, you know, drop that, you know. Babe, what do you think about that rose? You know what I mean?
Yes, so it's
I feel like now we have so much, you know, in the public domain that we can use to kind of initiate those kind of conversations and have those type of, you know, conversations with our partner, you know. So I feel like it can happen.
But even so, you talked about selflessness, but also self-awareness. Because you're speaking about your age difference and how you communicated when you were 18 versus now. So at 18 years, your level of self-awareness, what you like, what you don't like, would be, you know, so much different from now. Your different experiences and exploration and so forth. So it comes with time and experience and maturity, and then being able to convey to your partner. I mean, if you're just starting off, you really wouldn't know exactly what works for you.
Right.
But also, in a relationship, I think it's important if you want to try something or if you're used to something and the other partner is not but is willing, you know, to explore with you, that you are a bit patient. Because, I mean, based on what you may be seeing on porn or your past experiences, you want things to happen like that or you're not doing it the right way. But I think if it's in a committed relationship, you should have that level of
patience. Patience is a good word.
Yeah, that's a good word. And the other thing too, sometimes what happens is you meet someone, you know, you met them conservative, and then later on you want to change them.
To change them, right.
And that happens a lot, especially with the females. You may meet a female that was...
Oh, you know, mean, and the male will want to change. Because I was going to say it happens a lot with males. And I feel very strongly about this. Carlton, and I'm going to say it on the radio. Men in particular, I've noticed, there's this whole thing about you don't want a woman with a high body count. You know, there's a lot of things. So basically you want there's this thing, you know, a pure... you know, woman, a very conservative, what they say, like a lady in the streets, you know. you want this, a virgin is also very, you know, still desired, you know, a man. So the man would find this very attractive, and very desirable, and then enter a relationship with this person or whatever, and then start to express dissatisfaction about the same person that they desired, their lack of experience, and their lack of willingness to be wild. I mean, you did not want wild. You wanted, you know, you wanted the conservative person, and then what the same people will do is then cheat
and go to the wild.
So then people always mention, you know, this is, you know, this person or this man wifed or married this conservative woman, and then finds himself looking
for the wild
on the outside. And I feel like we should just be honest with ourselves. If you want something and this is what you enjoy, well then, you know, don't worry about what society, because a lot of it is what society will say, you know. Because as a man, I don't want other fellas to feel like, you know, I picked up a woman that was all over the place. So I want the pure, I want the conservative, I want the, you know, but then I am dissatisfied, so I'm going to complicate things now by searching outside. Why? You know?
You can't have a cake and eat it. That's what they say. So, I mean, if you want something pure...
We have a caller.
You have to be realistic.
Yes.
We have a caller. Yes.
We'll take that call.
We'll take this call. Please hold. We'll take your call. Yeah, caller seem to have gone.
Yes. Caller, you can try
back.
Feel
free to call 449-3095, 449-3096, 449-3097, 616-4257. These are the numbers. You can call, you can make a contribution, you can, you know, let's take this caller. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for calling.
Yes, good morning. I am listening to your program for a bit there now. And I heard Trudy spoke about men do not want women with high body count.
Yes.
And I do not know which one of you in the studio there would go and buy a car that had 12 drivers, you know, versus a car that's practically new. You know, I mean, you don't want to buy a car that too many people drive in it. You know, you want to buy a car that you know that's almost new. So that's the analogy about body comfort.
But you recognize the other part of her argument.
Exactly.
The other part was the mere fact you would have chosen a conservative woman, and then later on felt maybe the sexual, you know, vibes is a bit boring, and you want her to be more in you know, innovative experienced and expressive.
But you teach her what you want.
But what if she doesn't? What if she doesn't want to learn that? What if she doesn't believe in having sex in the vehicle or on the beach? It happens.
Well, I believe she would have to not do what I want, but I mean, conform with my ideas, because, you know, I'm the man, you know what I mean?
All right.
Because I wouldn't want anybody to come to me with
in terms of what we call a high body count. It doesn't make sense. I don't want to walk on the road. And for all bus drivers to say, I pass on that, you know? And fellas on the roadside is smoking this. They say, boy, me, to pick that up, boy, I'd rather spend how much night by a street. No, come on. Who wants that? Who wants that? So high body count is not something anybody wants. No, I train my girls and I teach my girls about these kind of things. I tell them, that is something you do not want to do. You want to try and keep yourself as much as you possibly can, you know, because the science shows that anytime you have more than around three sex partners, your chances for staying married goes down. You understand me? If you have less sex partners, you have plenty chance of your marriage lasting. But if you have plenty sex partners, you're going to compare me with almost everybody that enrolls. You understand?
Wow. One of our panelists has a question for you.
Yes. So, caller, if you just give me a listening ear. So you said, okay. Yes. You don't want someone with a high body count, and they would have to, you know, conform, and you'll teach them and whatnot. But then at what speed? Because remember, you as the experienced driver may not have that high level of patience or tolerance, and you know that person, remember, is very new, you know. So are you willing to have that level of patience and care and sensitivity to that woman?
Yes, but that's why you choose somebody who is almost innocent, you know. You want to be able to teach them what you want.
But caller, one question, but how would you be experienced, you wanting this new car, but you know, having experience before, so that means your car itself
it has been used.
So is right. The double standard is very concerning to me with how men describe women with experience, but men want to be experienced themselves. So who are you gaining this experience with?
Right.
You know?
They call it. The women are calling you.
No, but it goes both ways. Men don't want a woman with a high count, but then it's okay for them to have a count of how many numbers go in. So it's,
okay,
it's
but,
unfair.
Okay, but if as a man, you do not have a high, what we call body count, we can both experience life together.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that's understandable.
That's fair.
That's fair enough, yeah. But you cannot expect a virgin car, and then if the lady doesn't want a car which has been run by so many other women,
a driver that has been, you know, driving all over.
You know, so I mean, you have to be fair. It's not just on one side.
It's like you want to buy a car, and you see a car that is a renter, boy, and you know how people treat renters. You know, so you don't want to go with a stick so that you know when you're going to start giving you a problem in a very short time. Like me, I had a car for 5 years and it was not giving me any problem. But the bank, if you go to the bank for a loan for a car, they'll give you the loan for 5 years because they know after 5 years, the car is going to start giving problems, right? So this is what I want. I do not want for somebody, too many people in their life have known them. I want to know. It's I alone, and that's what I have. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Now, you see, and let me just comment. This is why, Carlton, one of your points, you know, from the Essence magazine article is about disclosing your sexual history. What the caller expressed is exactly why.
Yes.
It's exactly, precisely why people do not disclose their sexual history. So this so-called, you know, non-driven car might be someone who is not disclosing the number of drivers that they had because they are afraid of being shamed. And I would really hope that in this day and age, we would remove that type of shame from the conversation and allow people to, you know, be their have their truth.
Yes.
I don't want you to be afraid to tell me what you've done because I'm going to shame you. You know what I mean? I want to know.
Let's take this caller. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for calling.
Sorry, I'm back again.
It's okay.
You know, if I anybody I get I happen to come across anybody with my experience, I would know almost by the second or third time how much experience that person had, you know. And like driving a car, I would know. You know, I would know very early, you know. But if both of you all are virgins, then you'll know, well, okay, we're going to try and learn everything. Maybe look, as you say, look on the internet and try different things, you know, within each other. But we don't want, men don't want that kind of thing, you know, to be walking on the road with his girlfriend and then everybody else can point at her, you know. That's not nice at all. Anyway, I'm listening.
Thank you. But I recognize this is a very broad discussion, and you will have gender bias.
Yes.
You will have religious bias as well, because I recognize, and it's a statement I'm going to make, that within the Christian realm, particularly conservative Christian people, sex can be very, very restricted.
Mm-hmm.
Restricted. And there are many people too who are not happy. They're not happy. They're seeing new things. They're reading about new things. Every one of us have the world in our hand for a smartphone. And we see things. And sometimes it is very difficult to have these discussions. I've heard prejudices from even pastors. Recently, I heard a pastor in Jamaica lambasting sex toys, and he actually demonized it. He said that when it is used, demons enter you.
Mm.
You know, I did not agree with that at all. But again, there are people who will agree to that, and it's my opinion. And sometimes the sort of statements that are made, they prejudice how people live their lives, and they impact even the mere marriage,
mm-hmm.
because let's say you would have heard this and all excited about introducing something in your bedroom, but your pastor said something else, mm-hmm. and then right away
you're against it,
and then you have a conflict, or you have a dissatisfied partner. So I think, again, it has to be discussions that has to be somewhere consensual,
mm-hmm.
to both parties, where you are comfortable, both of you are comfortable with the execution and the dialogue.
Mm-hmm. and Carlton, I think maybe my summary thought on this entire topic is, I feel like in a relationship, which is what we were discussing, a relationship, there needs to be sexual satisfaction and pleasure and, you know, gratification for both parties.
Mm-hmm.
And however that has to happen, through communication, through trust, through, you know, all the things, self-awareness we mentioned, selflessness, all these things that we mentioned, you know, openness. Whatever has to happen between these two people for both parties to be satisfied, I think that is what should happen. And if you are in a situation where, you know, this cannot happen because either one party doesn't want to communicate, is not open to discussing, you know, your needs are not being met and you don't see how they can be met, you are afraid, or you are, you know, ashamed in the relationship, whatever is the scenario, then you need to reconsider that really. And I feel very strongly, particularly as a women's health advocate, I know a lot of times women take the shorter end of the stick when it comes to sexual satisfaction. And once again, in religion too, people have been kind of taught, you know, it's this aspect of the relationship is for the man.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so in those in heterosexual, yes, you know, be submissive, you know, so in a heterosexual relationship, a lot of times, sometimes based on our socialization, women, you know, end up holding the shorter end of the stick and being kind of afraid or shamed to have these discussions that we're having right now openly. Might be ashamed by, you know, maybe some of their own experiences, might be ashamed by some of their own traumas, because Carlton, mm-hmm. you mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. you know, do we discuss and disclose our sexual traumas and experiences? So I feel like whatever needs to happen for both parties, the man and the woman, to be satisfied in that relationship, let it happen. You know, if you have to discuss, if you have to include all kind of additional things, whatever, but satisfaction is key. An unsatisfied, you know, miserable person is not the aim.
I like that.
No.
Yeah, I agree. Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I don't have much to add. But I mean, you have to be fair. And I'm sorry, caller, I do disagree with, some of what you were saying. But really being honest with yourself and with your partner, and being able to work around compromise, being aware of what the person needs, what you need, and going from there. Honestly, truly, mm-hmm. you said it.
Well, for me, I believe the relationship is between the two of you. What you do in your relationship, that is your personal business, your personal choice. Once it does not in any way impact or affect others, I also believe too that we need to have more discussion on these matters as a society. When we have these discussions, what we're doing is we are informing people about the right way of doing things. We may not know all the answers. You may not necessarily agree with my perspective or the other's perspective. You may have your own perspective. However, let us agree to disagree. And at the same time, let us be open and not myopic. Let us be open to new ideas, new suggestions, new discussions. Because just as the price of rice have changed, you would have purchased a penny bread in the 1940s and 50s. Bread is now $1.50 for one loaf.
Exactly.
The very same thing with sexual and reproductive health. The information has changed and it has changed. You know, what was, you know, done in the 40s and 30s, it's different now. And so we have to be open as well to that. We have to have those discussions and we have to inform ourselves, particularly if we're involved with someone. We have to open up ourselves for discussion, and we cannot be too conservative to the point where you become ignorant. Because of your way of thinking and you're not open to hearing any other perspective. Well, we are out of time. It is 11:35. It was again a pleasure sitting here in the studio and being at your home with you on Health Vibes. As always, your health is indeed your greatest resource. Preserve it. Have a good morning, everybody, and take care of yourself. Bye-bye.
Take care. Who say health cannot have vibes? Well, Jolly's Pharmacy is proving you otherwise. With Health Vibes. Every Wednesday morning on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Health Vibes. Education, information, and a bit of humor. And not forgetting lots of vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando with co-hosts Jacinta Fig and Defoe.